This is the Future of Water, where we talk about all the ways which companies, utilities, and people are addressing the challenges and opportunities in water. Today, it's all about us. That is, it's going to be you and me. I'm not going to lie, it's Friday and things are a little crazy around here, as they seemingly always are. But rather than try to herd some cats and get some people in the room, I wanted to share a couple of quick thoughts with you. So rather than diving into a specific topic with a colleague this week, get me with a couple of thoughts on some recent deals and trends we're seeing in M&A climate and the markets as a whole. So let's jump right into it. First and foremost, I was speaking with my colleague Nathan Goldstein earlier this week, and he shared with me some data on some recent M&A deal activity. Well, I'm going to tell you it's up, or it's heading up, because last week he was telling me that there have been 301 deals in water that have been recorded so far this year, which is still a little shy of last year's 368 transactions we counted. But if the ongoing trends in private water, like investor in utilities and the digital sector, keep pace with what they have done historically, and that is historically over the last couple quarters, if not years, then we're definitely going to be past 368 by the end of the year pretty quickly. My take is that it's been crazy busy around here with not only private equity reaching out and expressing interest in a number of different companies and firms, but also strategics as well, trying to figure out where can they get in, how can they get in, or just even specifically targeting a company. And to that point, I mentioned on Dave McGimsey's Water Values podcast this past week that NextEra's recent acquisition of a regulated utility in Texas was really interesting. One, why is it interesting? Well, I get super excited about the convergence of companies bringing together water, power, gas, all of this critical infrastructure. In fact, we just put some research out on the recent NextEra deal in Texas. But what I'm really excited about is that NextEra has the mettle to potentially disrupt the water market over the long term. They seem to have a long-term strategy and a plan that quite honestly dovetails nicely with water. So just a little bit of background, it acquired Sustainable Water, which is a distributed water treatment company, last year in 2020. That sort of flew under the radar a little quiet. And then they've just picked up family and regulated utility in Texas. While not big, that utility definitely gives them a toehold in one of the fastest growing M&A markets for investor in utilities. But also, you know, for some time, the company's management and leadership has hinted at water as a looming risk, a big issue to address. And well, NextEra might be the one industry outsider, water industry outsider, that is, that could turn it into an opportunity. You know, in a previous life, I saw what they did in renewables, where they were working early days in wind and they figured that out and costs began to go down. And then they started looking at solar and they were weighing the large scale concentrated solar PV market versus the photovoltaics. And they were leveraging Florida Power and Light to get better understanding of that market. But they also have NextEra Energy Resources, which is, they have a development team and they're going around, you know, door to door developing renewable projects around the US. And they're now one of the largest, if not the largest, renewable owner and developer in the US, if not the world. But also what they're looking at, battery storage, one of the largest battery storage developers as well. Well, what does that mean? So who cares? What does that mean for water other than decarbonization? Well, we've talked a little bit about this. Hydrogen is on the horizon. Hydrogen to be used for transportation, such as fleet management, but also for storage. So if NextEra better understands what's happening in water, and they understand the hydrogen market and its applications, what they can start making is potentially is green hydrogen. And so there's where it all comes together. And if hydrogen is in demand across the US, It can either be supplied by utilities, but also it can be developed as projects. But also, if they're going to develop hydrogen and electrolyzers, they're going to need power from somewhere. And if someone's looking for renewables, particularly at scale, they can do so by building more wind. And so let's just put that in perspective. Again, Florida Power and Light, once again, they're piloting or planning to pilot a hydrogen facility in Florida. At the same time, NextEra has also signed a contract with a company that is developing hydrogen. And so NextEra has contracted out 500 megawatts of wind capacity to supply power to that hydrogen facility. So there you have it. And, you know, depending on what happens in Washington with the infrastructure bill, you know, there may be benefits to that. But I would also say that I think it's going to happen anyways, quite honestly. Really, the biggest issue is going to be, will there be cost declines? Will they be able to do so at scale? I look forward to seeing how that unfolds going forward, because that could be a big opportunity. Number two on my list of things that are of note. Well, we're doing some research, or about to release some research, on Infomark's acquisition of ESG Operations, Georgia-based O&M services provider that had been on the market for a couple months. And so what does it mean? Well, since being acquired by New Mountain Capital in December 2020, Infomark seems to be taking a couple clear paths to growth. I think I'll list three here. First of all, they're just going to buy more O&M contract service providers. So they just did it with ESG in May 2020. They added in about 70 contracts from EDP. So that'd be step one, just grow through M&A and add service contracts. That is what they do. Secondly, ESG, it might be the catalyst, an important catalyst to growing Infomark's industrial business. And Infomark has struggled a bit, or at least not been able to scale its industrial services business as it has on the municipal water, wastewater side. So ESG is active in other verticals, and that could be an important tool for them to grow. And then I would say thirdly, just yesterday, November, Infomark just acquired, I believe, MR Systems, which is a SCADA systems provider and integrator. So what they're really going to try to do, it seems, is squeeze more value from existing contracts with new solutions such as SCADA systems. So I'd say that's pretty important and really matches Infomark's business model. One, Infomark, you know, the O&M services, it's a very regional, it's a very local business. So the way to get scale is basically you put a pin in a map, you draw a circle around its position, and you say, it's sort of the Walmart approach is what they used to do. Put a pin in the map, draw a 150-mile radius circle around that point, and then you just try to roll up as much and everything as you can within that circle, and you just have circles all over the U.S. Well, Infomark is probably trying to do the same thing. So they'll just add more contracts, and at the same time, they'll try to apply more digital or SCADA solutions in this case to get more value out of those systems, whether it be through improved performance or just upselling. So it's something to look for. And I would say, secondly, in a conversation with my colleague, Isabel Kesman, she's been looking at this market in greater detail because we're about to release an O&M report. And one of the things that she had mentioned was looking historically, look at our thousands of contracts that Bluefield has in its data set. It appears that the O&M market specifically is about $2.6 billion annually. So it's not that big of a number, quite honestly. And given where the state of the world and sort of how complicated things are. So if you're a utility or even industrial facility, an operator, the workforce constraints, there are increased regulatory concerns and risks, whether that be for water quality or discharges. And quite honestly, things are just more complicated to manage. I mean, there's the technology, there's the customers, the people. Well, the state of the world is to outsource. I feel like everything is, you know, X as a service, whatever it might be. But, and so utility operations, to a point, there, it's no different. So if someone can do it at scale, someone can manage all of that, it may be more cost effective, it may be more efficient, and it also just might be better for the end user. So I think the tailwinds are strong, if not increasingly strong, for companies in this space. So we look forward to seeing how that changes going forward, particularly in the wake of COVID and such we've talked about. And lastly, I'll give you my third takeaway, and that is Q2 2021 numbers show a record revenue growth in the water industry, with 9 of the 45 companies that Bluefield tracks, the public companies that we track, their year-over-year growth is shown to be up 25%. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens in the public markets and how these companies are faring. We look at this every quarter, but comes as a little surprise that with the worst impacts of COVID-19, really they were felt in Q2 2020. So for some companies, there's still a bit of a hangover. But, you know, hey, it's people are trying to pull out of this. There are lots of concerns that we've been looking at. One, there's, you know, supply chain, there's climate issues, there's workforce, there are vaccine mandates and such. But related to that, as we talk about the digital companies overall, I've got a giveaway for you, and I'll tell you more after I go through my my pitch here. But Bluefield has a database of about 940 global digital water companies that we look at. We've been collecting data on everything from headquarters, their product offerings, which segments are they in, what's their age, what's their size, who owns them, are they private equity owned, are they privately owned, are they VC backed, as well as their funding status. So we've been looking at that. So what I was going to do is I'll give you a couple of facts from a report we just put out that might be of interest. So of among those 940 companies, and this is global, 73% are just over are privately owned, and 90% are focused on municipal water management. 49% of those profile businesses have fewer than 50 employees. So we're talking a lot of small companies out there. And that's among plenty of Davids and just a couple Goliaths. But hey, that's sort of, that's part of the business. 52% of those identified vendors were founded since 2000, and over 30% were founded since 2010. Well, that's really no surprise. I mean, you know, the Internet of Things, digital, smart water, all of these smart tech stuff, it's really all happened in many respects in this century. So I'm not surprised that so many have been founded since 2000. Now, that being said, there's some of these companies that are active in water, in digital water, that have been around for over 100 years. So you can go figure out who they are, or you can just call and ask. But lastly, almost 46% of the businesses profiled provide digital solutions for utility asset management or conveyance network operations. But meanwhile, data management, analytics, cybersecurity, that sector, or that group of players, they've actually, the segments have seen the fastest growth in terms of new companies formed, focusing on those areas. So cybersecurity is hot these days. It's a problem. It's not going away. And so there's been a lot of focus there. So why am I telling you this? Well, we just released an insight report, which is free to everyone. All you have to do is go to bluefieldresearch.com. You just have to register. Not going to lie, you got to give us an email, got to give us some details about you, and you can download a report about all of these companies. Now, it doesn't give it all away. We have bills to pay ourselves, but it does give you some perspective on key trends about the companies that are active in water. Who are the biggest buyers of other companies in water? Which segments are growing the fastest over time? So definitely worth a download. definitely worth checking out. It's just, it's a freebie. All you have to do is register. So there you have it. There's 15 minutes of my time with you. It's probably your time with me. So I appreciate you sticking around for this. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for topics for us to discuss, or just some of the guests I could have within Bluefield, let us know at waterexperts@bluefieldresearch.com. So before we sign off, please subscribe, give us a review. You do that on Apple Podcasts, but also just sign up and download. Those numbers help us help you. Send us a note to waterexperts@bluefieldresearch.com. Like I said, with any topics or questions you may have about this podcast or anything else. Lastly, tell a friend about the future of water. We're doing this for you. And I'll just throw in a plug for my friend, Dave McGimsey, the Water Values Podcast. You should download that as well. There's a lot of good stuff out there as well. I think this past week he talked about water management on military bases and what that all means and how it works. So really good podcast. All right, guys, this podcast and these water industry insights have been brought to you by Bluefield Research. To learn more about us, visit us at bluefieldresearch.com. Until you hear from me again, be well, be safe, and take care.